views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Hey, Merry Meet everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. My guest tonight is Kathy Beal, and Kathy is a professional astrologer, psychic, and tarot advisor, amongst a few other things, and she helps individuals and business owners make decisions and better understand themselves, their options, and the people in their lives. She's also a lawyer, a singer, an actress, and a freelance writer who brings her counseling her diverse life experience. Kathy also offers courses in reclaiming your energy, which is one of them, and that's because it's such a timely subject. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight, and we have a lot to cover, so Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, it's perfect timing. You know, I think we are all like running on empty right now, and it wouldn't hurt to recharge the battery, but before we get started with the topic, I really need to ask you something that you posted on your website because it jumped right out at me. And okay. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about tonight. But you wrote that the Marx Brothers have played a weirdly huge role in your life. And if you tell me why, I'll tell you why it jumped out at me.
Sure. I discovered them when I was in junior high. I read about their films before I saw any of their films. My family moved to Germany when I was in ninth grade, and the film museum in Munich had, the first month I was there, a Marx Brothers film festival. So I got to see them in Germany. They've been this important background image in my life. And fast forward several decades, I'm leaving a restaurant. Three people stop me and say, "Would you be insulted if you were asked to impersonate Margaret Dumont?" And I said, "Hell no, I'd do a damn good job of it." And this put me in a video. This is in Houston. They put me on a video that spoofed the Marx Brothers, put them on the deck of the Starship Enterprise. And that video led to my meeting the person who was running what was at the time the largest Marx Brothers fan site, and my ultimately moving from Texas to New York and being with him for 10 years and being one of the organizers of Marx Fest, which was the 100th anniversary, a month-long celebration in New York City, 100th anniversary of them getting their nicknames in a vaudeville poker game. I was one of six people who put that together, and one of my events included Dick Cavett talking about Groucho. And then that led to playing the Dowager role in the first ever revival of their first Broadway musical, which was not filmed. I'll Say She Is. And I was in the staged reading. I was in the Fringe Festival production and then the off-Broadway New York Times Critics Pick show.
Very cool. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, why I got interested in it was because in my previous life, not so long ago, I was a freelance entertainment writer for a very long time. And I always liked the Marx Brothers. I mean, I grew up with them too. And I was writing for articles and people in the audience, if you've already heard this, talk amongst yourselves, and I'll make it short. I was writing articles for a magazine called Left Handers, and when I realized that Harpo was left-handed, right, I asked them if I could do an article on him, and they said yes. So I contacted his son, Bill.
Yes, I have okay. his son. Oh, my God, what a sweetheart.
There you go. Uh-huh. And I asked him for an interview. So he invited me over to his house. Uh-huh. And at that moment, at that time, he had lost his favorite bird, who it was a cockatiel that whistled Captain Spaulding.
Oh, my.
And it got out, and it was, you know, in the neighborhood. And he said he hoped it would come back. We were talking about that. But walking through the door of his house, there was Harpo's harp in the foyer.
Yep.
And then he knew I needed some photos for the article, so he took me upstairs to a room that had this huge pool table on it. And there were literally hundreds and hundreds of loose photos of Harpo and the brothers. And he told me to take my time, dig through it all, and he'd be back in an hour to check on me.
Yes, sweetheart.
Yes. So that's why... yeah, that's why it jumped up at me. And yes, Bill was a wonderful person. My favorite Marx Brothers book. I like The Groucho File, but Harpo Speaks to me is the best one. I like that one.
Did Bill give you his book, Son of Harpo Speaks?
No, I don't know if it was out then or not.
It's worth getting.
Yeah, I want to, and we'll track him down and get his autograph on it, because he did sign Harpo's book for me. But yeah, so anyway, all right. Now we have to go back to the topic, which is not fun, but I think really necessary and very interesting. So thanks. I mean, I'm just when I get a guest and I see stuff like that, I just have to ask.
Oh, I know? Have so much more to say, but we have other things to talk about. So.
Yeah, we do, because this hour is going to go by really quickly. And then maybe, you know, you can come back later on and we'll talk about the Marx Brothers, because there are, as you're in chat, I can see. And I think people are liking the Marx Brothers as well. So not a bad thing. So, and everybody in chat now, I think, well, I didn't mention this, but if you have any questions as we go along for Kathy, she's in chat, so you could put them in chat, and we'll address them on the air, or you could send me or her a private message. And Kathy, if I'm not mistaken, you're Mahitable, right?
That is correct.
Okay. So how would I know that? Well, only somebody that likes, never mind. All right. So we're going to get back to topic, reclaiming our energy. Because I think most of us, like I said, are pretty much grounded, as in stay at home. But from a mental and metaphysical kind of point of view, we need to be able to step away from all the negativity that's surrounding us and find a way to ground ourselves and, as you say, find sanctuary, somewhere to go to where things get overwhelming. So what prompted you to do this course or put it together to begin with? Did it have to do with the pandemic, or was it just something generally that's a help for everybody no matter what?
The pandemic prompted me to resuscitate something that I used to talk about a lot. In fact, during the last time we had eclipses in Gemini and Sagittarius, which we have started up again, I have several alternate drafts of a book on this. It's been kicking around. It's stuff I've taught, things I do with clients, and someone who runs an acting studio that I'm associated with was hitting people saying, look, everybody has something that they can do to be of service to people at this time. And I woke up and went, this. So I have a whole bunch of tricks that I have picked up over the decades that I use with my clients, that I give to people to help you learn to become aware of when you're being affected by what's going on around you energetically, not just emotionally, but energetically, mm-hmm. and techniques for dumping it. And I would just like to say at the outset that being alone doesn't shield you from this for a couple of reasons. First, we're on social media so much. Weird energy comes through social media. Secondly, we're in a 24/7 news cycle at this point. So, you know, good luck getting away from that. And the complicated emotions and fear and anxiety and the feeling that someone has shoved a screwdriver in your brain and is twisting it that we've been living with for some time is so pervasive that you can be sitting quietly in your house and you'll just soak it up. It doesn't matter whether you identify as an empath or not. This stuff is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's this giant force that has blanketed the planet.
And I like what you said. I watched the video, and I liked what you said about people not having to wear that empath label in order to feel things, because we all do. We just maybe don't know it, and some people need the labels. But I think that was a very good point that you brought up, is that, you know, you don't have to be an empath to feel the stress or the pain or, you know, whatever else is floating by.
No, and I would say everybody, regardless of what label you put on yourself, everybody has had the experience of walking into a room and feeling different. Yeah. It could be you feel suddenly really good or sparkly or giddy, or you just have the sense of foreboding. Everyone's felt it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people don't realize it. You know, it's all of a sudden somebody will say, you know, I just kind of feel kind of weird, but they can't explain why. And it could be they just walked by somebody who had that real negative vibe or sad vibe or something going on, and it sticks. You know, it absolutely sticks. So, and I hate labels, but I guess that's why I'm happy you said that too, because there are people that use being an empath as an excuse sometimes to their benefit.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, that, yeah. So anyway, that's why, yeah, labels aren't good. But go ahead.
No, I was going to say labels can be limiting. You know, some people use them as crutches or whatever, but mm-hmm. I just want to encourage everyone that's possible to start becoming aware of when your energy shifts and when it's different. Sometimes you can talk on the phone with someone and you get, those of us who still occasionally use the phone for conversations, when you get off, you can sometimes feel so drained. There's a reason. Or you just feel agitated and you don't know why. And then there are other people, you're just bubbly and happy after you've talked to them because there's been something uplifting.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can take it one step further. I mean, if you're on social media and you're typing back and forth to people on Facebook or Skype or something, I mean, it's not what people say. It's how, and not even how they say it, but I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if somebody is in a mood and they type something that normally would, you know, wouldn't be anything, you can feel it. You get that cold ice thing going, and or you feel that same thing that they're feeling, but you know that there's something wrong with that person. So, I mean, it's not something that you have to develop. I think it's something within us mm-hmm. all, and sometimes you just have to realize it.
I will sometimes call it squid ink, that you can just feel this substance emitting from people. Like squid ink will go into water and it gets diffuse, but it affects the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they say it's good in pasta too, but that's a whole nother story. So talk a little bit about energy and management techniques for those who might not think that, or who might think that energy is something that maybe we cannot manage, but it is quite manageable.
Yes, there are a number of ways you can. I would imagine that everybody listening to this program has been introduced to the concept of shielding in some way or protecting yourself in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one way, imagining a shield around yourself, imagining a protective barrier around yourself, programming it. And some people who don't think of themselves as the slightest bit metaphysical or otherworldly will do things like this. I don't know if I mentioned this in that talk, but I knew a trial attorney who, before going into court, would imagine that she was putting Athena's helmet on, and it changed the way she looked and thought when she walked in, and it shifted her posture and everything else. So protecting mm-hmm. your energy is one thing here. Cleaning or clearing your energy, a big one. There are a number of really quick ways that you can dump it if you feel like you've been polluted. There are ways of clearing out on a real long term, on a regular basis, just whatever you've been carrying around. And I have had people fall asleep. In the follow-up class I taught to the talk that's available on my site, I have had people just sit there and go, they've never emptied themselves, and it's a really bizarre feeling to them, like something's not quite right. And sometimes if you go through a phase when you find yourself just eating and eating and eating and eating and eating, it could be that this is part of it. And I will certainly raise my hand to that one this week.
Me too. I just had to sit on my hands because they were going up really quick.
So, and then you can also, as you, while you're clearing, there are really easy techniques you can do to ground yourself. And then there are all kinds of variations on this. I have little tricks for actually taking your energy back from someone and giving them their energy back. Which is one of my favorite ones. Like putting putting the toys in the middle of the table and letting each side take his or her toys back. Mm-hmm. And that can be really powerful because consider this. When you have an intense conversation with someone or an intense interaction, it can be a single one, it can be over a long period of time. Think of it as they put a little bit of themselves in you, and you put a little bit of yourself in them. There's this exchange, mm-hmm. like when someone tells you a secret, and that often changes the dynamic of the relationship once that secret gets in the middle of it. And then when they're dealing with you, sometimes they're not really responding to you. They're responding to the piece of them that you're carrying. Mm-hmm. And that can get very, very weird. And they also sometimes can't completely deal with whatever their issue is because you're carrying this little piece for you. And this tends to happen in romantic relationships and sometimes in family relationships where someone will take on something for someone else, mm-hmm. and you don't even realize it, that vibe has become part of the relationship and part of you. And if it's something the other person hasn't dealt with, well, then you're carrying it, and guess what? You have now become part of the problem.
Sounds like a horcrux between like Harry Potter and Voldemort. You know, a little piece here of that and a little piece of that, and there you go.
I like that. I hadn't thought of it that way. It's good.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody in chat was talking about energy vampires, and that's probably one of the people that you were kind of referring to.
You know, there are some people who, I mean, yes, there are energy vampires, and there are people who are just plain in need, and they're not intentionally trying to.
Right.
They're just trying to get it from anywhere. Mm-hmm. But then there are people who maybe even unconsciously don't quite know this is what they do, but it certainly is the game of some people.
Yeah.
What if there is someone you have to work with who does this to you? This makes learning to monitor your energy and become aware of when this is happening really important, and learning how to protect it. And this also makes me think, I don't know if anybody watches What We Do in the Shadows on FX, which is it's a television series that's a remake of a New Zealand project, which was just a movie. And it's about modern day vampires who live in Staten Island. And for the American version, this is on FX and on Hulu, and I highly recommend it. For the American version, they added a new character who is an energy vampire, and he works in an office. He's a daywalker. He's not someone who has to only come out at night. And he goes and he just sits there and has this way of talking and bringing up incredibly boring things. And, and you know, at some points he's like flying because people are falling on the floor near him because he's sucked them. It's what he does.
We got another question from the chat room, and I think it's, you know, dealing with the empathy thing. She says, so what about those who get those inner voices of doom, impending events? It's a warning. So should we ignore it?
No. Now, it's important to learn the sound of your inner voice. Mm-hmm. It's important to learn to what difference it is when you're getting an intuitive a flash, or when something like your higher self is speaking to you, when it and when your mental chatter is just on overdrive. There are differences, and there's a difference in the quality of it. And making a point to learn to become still and empty yourself can help you discern the difference in this, because there is a different quality to it. If it's something that just falls into your head, that's probably something worth listening to. If it just drops into your head, if it has an insistence to it, like one of my early intuitive teachers said, if you hear in your mind's eye, in your mind's ear, whatever, if you hear someone call your name or like bark it at you, listen.
Yeah, I hate when that happens. I really do, because they only bark once and then they just disappear. In the meantime, you're like, what?
What did I miss? What am I supposed to do? No.
Yeah. And it's usually when you're half asleep, 3 o'clock in the morning wakes you out of a sound sleep, and it's like you're sitting up and like, what the hell? Yeah, okay. Just my point. So, all right, there may be people, though, that don't know if their energy is off a bit. So what are some of the clues that our energy might be off, that, you know?
If you feel one way and then suddenly you feel a different way. For example, you've been going along just fine. La, 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 la. And let's say, the way the world used to be, you walk into a group of people. And like you walk into a meeting and things are going along and suddenly you feel really weighty and everything feels very heavy. You kind of go, what's going on here? You were in a fine place when you walked in and suddenly everything feels really heavy, which often happens in meetings. That's a clue. If you feel agitation in your solar plexus, that's a really big clue. The solar plexus, the area that is between your navel and your chest, is the power center in your body. And if that starts getting agitated or something is whipping you up there, there's a sign that, okay, I'm being messed with, or something here is knocking me off center.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing, if you wake up with something running through your head and you find yourself getting really, really mad at somebody, or you're chewing over something that wasn't on your mind, and you could be picking up a transmission from somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kat in chat said, do people drain you, or do you just feel drained from being tensed up around them? That's a good question.
It could be either. It depends on, honestly, it could be a bit of both. It could be that you feel really annoyed because you feel like someone is tugging on you and you're fighting it. So it could be that you're reacting to the sensation that someone's trying to pull this out of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways to look at it, but, you know, everybody, again, in times of stress, and I think, I mean, there are a lot of people now that are kind of complacent about the pandemic because it's been going on so long and everything. So they're not as uptight necessarily as they might have been in the very beginning. But I think something like this, for example, that's ongoing is going to stick in the back of your head at the very least. And it is going to affect you even if it isn't tangible or in the forefront of your brain every day. But, you know, we do hear things. You go on social media, you're hearing things, you're seeing things. You listen to the news, you pick up a paper. Even if you want to stay away from that stuff, somebody's going to say, hey, did you hear, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so it goes. So I think that everybody probably is drained, whether they realize it or not.
I look at it as it's like fine sandpaper. You can feel like you're calm and grounded and you can be fairly sane on a regular basis. And I've been noticing, I have certainly been observing a lot of people having a worsening of ongoing health problems just mm-hmm. from the relentlessness mm-hmm. of the situation. And yeah. it's not that they're openly freaking out over anything. And I certainly have had a couple of things happen and just go, okay, obviously I was having a little trouble dealing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So. It's something that's really important to realize these things is I think you kind of touched on it earlier, is to know ourselves and know how we react and know when something is wrong. A lot of people, and it's kind of scary, go through life without knowing the inner self. And if you do that, life is a whole lot easier. I mean, you can explain a lot of things. That doesn't mean that, you know, something is going to happen and you're not going to freak out, because, you know, some people have that part of that in them too. But if you understand the way you react to things and you can recognize something that might be emotional rather than physical or vice versa, it really helps to calm you down, at least.
I agree completely. And I would say that a benefit of some giant cosmic hand putting the pause button down on life right now has been the freedom, actually, to pay a lot more attention to yourself and your own grounding and your own infrastructure, and to take things more slowly. And I do know some people who have been extraordinarily busy, but for many mm-hmm. people, simply the absence of a commute has mm-hmm. freed up a lot of time for them. And I have observed some people flourishing with this, and the people that I have seen still, even after all these months, having emotional difficulty with this situation have been people who are really uncomfortable with themselves. Mm-hmm. And them being put in a room alone with themselves is like hell on earth for
yeah.
them.
Yeah, dead scared to learn about yourself. And, you know, you said this thing has positive aspects. Well, we know it's having positive aspects in Mother Nature. I mean, look at the canals in Venice, and look at the sky, and, you know, Mother Nature is really cleaning up. The pollution is much less. And it's a good time for us. I mean, we need to do that kind of cleansing too. And I think some people maybe are afraid of what they're going to find out. But, you know, that's a demon to conquer. Because that's one of those things that holds people back is fear of knowing, fear of the unknown. So, you know, I think people should really, you know, if you're into things like chakras, clean out those chakras. If you're into acupuncture, get that chi moving, you know. I mean, we're all gunked up anyway in general, and probably a little bit more gunked up now. So this is a good time for us to get a little bit introspective and work on that. And it probably isn't going to be painful. I think it's going to be very cathartic.
I witnessed that in one of the people who was in one of my classes recently. I have known for decades. And this is a person who historically has not been able to be alone. Big problems with it. And this person actually sat there emptied, saying, I've never felt like this before. I don't know what to do with it. I was like, well, get used to it. Notice what you, notice what you feel like. And mm-hmm. this person's now like getting in touch saying, are you going to do more? We need more. We need that. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah. And it can be addictive in a good way to start doing that. So we are going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the tools that we can use to reclaim our energy. So everybody hang in there and we'll be back in 2 short minutes.
Stirring the Cauldron will be right back. So don't go away.
If you end up with webbed feet,
remember, you've been warned. Missed an episode of Stirring the Cauldron? Then be sure to check out MarlaBrooks.com and check out the archive. And while you're there, check out Marla's weekly Witches Oracle card reading. Explore the site to find many great resources, such as information on tarot, oracle readings, metaphysical consultations, and links to all of Marla's books. That's MarlaBrooks.com.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear... Line.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And like the man said, we're back. My guest is Kathy Beal. And before the break, we were talking about some tools that we can use to kind of help protect and clear our energy. So there are lots of different ways, Kathy, to do this. So let's kind of start at the beginning. I mean, how do we even begin?
I would say start with something extremely easy, and I'm going to suggest the middle part of a longer clearing process that I have, and that involves imagining that there is a limp balloon in front of your mouth, and this balloon it can expand to put anything at all that you put in it. It's a magical balloon. And it is extremely elastic and it is unbreakable. And so you just take the balloon and you blow into the balloon anything that is bugging you, that's nagging at you. Someone makes you really, really mad and it's thrown you off course. You blow your irritation into the balloon. Someone steals the parking space that you've been driving around for an hour to get, which happened to me 2 days ago. you blow into the balloon rather than shooting them the finger, which is actually what I did. I was frustrated. If anyone wants to try this right now, it's extraordinarily easy. You just imagine there's a balloon. If it amuses you to make it a color that you like, that's fine. Doesn't matter. And you just blow, you can blow people into the balloon. Seriously. You can blow anything into the balloon and get it out of your system. And when it's as big as you want to deal with, you tie it up and you see yourself hitting it into the sky with the intention that it is going to go off to the sun where it will be turned into neutral energy. So, someone has asked, once you get rid of it, how do you not pick it back up? That's why monitoring and clearing regularly are a good idea. Because, you have to wash your clothes. You wash your clothes and then you go outside, things happen, you get in the dirt, and after a little while, you need to wash your clothes again. So you clear your energy off, and you can sometimes get rid of some pretty big stuff, but then more grime is going to show up. So that the answer to the question that just showed up in chat was, once you get rid of it, how do you not pick it back up again? Well, you minimize it by shielding, minimizing what you're going to get, and you also make a point to clean. I mean, these days we're all washing our hands with a great deal more care than we ever used to, at least most of us are. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of thing. You just periodically clear out your energy.
Yeah, and when you put it in the balloon and you send it up into the ethers or wherever, you have to believe that it's not going to come back. You know, everything that you put in there is not going to come back. There probably are going to be new things that come up, but that's when you need to use those lungs and blow those different balloons up. But don't have the balloon on a string. When you let it go, and then it probably won't come back. If you believe it won't, but if you want to bring it back, you can. And people do that all the time. They think
all the time,
I'm taking care of this and it's over and done. And then their subconscious gets in and they start looking around. Oh, I missed that. Or, you know, something's missing now. And you call it right back. You know, it's like in hauntings, people call in investigators to cleanse the house and get rid of spirits. And then they're sitting there and going, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe that guy wasn't so bad, or maybe it was somebody's grandmother, and now I feel bad about sending it away, and boom, it comes back. So, you know, we have control of what comes back and what leaves more than we know, right?
We get to set our limits. Mm-hmm. And people tell me about stuff entering their house and waking them up and all. I just look at them and go, you can tell it to go away. It is your house. It's your space. You control it. The best story along those lines I ever heard, the woman that ran the mediumship circle that I trained in was in Sedona one night, and in a place that was highly, highly active. And part of the decor consisted of a chalkboard. And she had been a teacher. So she wrote, "You will not wake Mrs. put her last name up during the night." It just wrote it on the chalkboard. You can do this. You can do this yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people are afraid because they say, well, if we talk to spirit like that, they're going to get mad at us. Well, no. I mean, you know, and what are they going to do if they do? I mean, seriously, they're people. They're spirits. They're human. They're going to react like a human being, but you have to react like a human being too. And if it's your house, you have to close the door. I mean, it's just that simple.
You get to draw the line. And that's the same way with dealing with your energy. You don't have to take something for someone. I mean, there's some, you know, everyone, I am certain everybody in this group has cared for someone who's telling them a story about how incredibly much they hurt. And your desire is, oh, I want to just make them feel better. What can I do? What can I do? Oh, I want to. And often you end up taking a lot of their pain away. And okay, maybe that was a kind act to them, but you've just poisoned yourself. You got to dump it somehow. Mm-hmm. You can't carry it yourself.
Well, like in Reiki, you know, you can perform Reiki and you're taking something from somebody, but if you don't wash it off physically, I mean, you know, with your hands or whatever, people do it all different ways, but you have to brush it out of you.
Yes.
You can't just keep taking it. So,
or you're contaminating yourself.
Exactly. Yep. So, I mean, taking it is good, but letting it go then is even better, because otherwise you're going to keel over at some point by doing that. Now, you mentioned in the video, and we're going to talk more about this where people can go and listen and all that in a minute, but you talk about turning off the stimulus and the triggers and how tricky that can be, because we need information sometimes. We need to listen to the news sometimes, even if it's briefly, but that trigger can drain energy. So how do we kind of meet that happy medium in between? I mean, we need to find out things, but we don't need for it to knock us in the head.
That's a really tricky one. Mm-hmm. And social media is the minefield for this. you can stumble into it in other places too. And one way is setting time limits for yourself. Another way is setting a ground rule that you will not engage with trolls. The Anti-Troll Defamation League is going to be coming after me, but I've been saying this a whole bunch. Everybody knows that there are certain arguments that you're never going to win, and you're just feeding energy into it. Mm-hmm. So I have gotten really good at hiding people from my feeds, not blocking them, but just I don't need to see whatever they're going through. Mm-hmm. I've become aware of certain people who set me off, certain situations that set me off, like don't need this. Safeguard your energy. It is a pure, it is a precious, precious, precious resource, and you mm-hmm. don't owe anybody any explanations. And I don't care whether you're related to them, people you've known since grade school. You can just, like, if you, the moment that you feel the surge, and everyone knows what I'm talking about, you see something and it just kind of comes up through your body, give yourself permission, disengage, hide the post, go away, walk away from your device, just go and go do something else and get it out of your system.
Yeah, and I think people like to blame other people for things, because then they don't have to own them themselves. And that's, you know, that's kind of a major problem. You know, you have to stop blaming somebody else and take the blame if you are, you know, responsible for whatever it is. Don't take anybody else's blame, but, you know. So how do you think, how do you think people should react to that? I mean,
Well, you're essentially taking responsibility for yourself by choosing what you will engage with.
Good point.
So if you have a couple of ground rules, you're not going to really ever change anybody else's mind. Your energy is precious. It's pointless to invest it into getting into certain arguments because you're not going to move anybody off center. They're going to be in their position. You're going to be in yours, and you're just going to feel awful afterwards. Or the other person is going to get your energy, and there we go. You're going to feed them. So that's one way of looking at what you're doing with yourself in terms of are you being responsible, and being responsible to yourself for yourself is kind of a cosmic imperative these days. Mm-hmm. And this is one way to do it. And, you know, if somebody's really upsetting and someone does stuff that's really upsetting, there's probably something on your side of the table that's part of the issue. And this may not be the time to resolve anything. It's because so many people are so extreme and so reactive right now. Probably this is a better time to clean up your stuff. Get your own area in order. Get your body, your house, your energy field in order and safeguard it. And I think I have observed, I can testify that going out in the world is an awful lot easier once you do that, because you're able to look at what someone else does and go, wow, that person is completely eaten up with negativity, and recognize it's their issue and you can't save them from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't. But we try. We want to always, like you said earlier, we want to try and make people feel better. But sometimes we overlook doing that to ourselves. And sometimes we just can't make anybody feel better. You know, no matter what we try, maybe that's their karma. Maybe that's the life plan they made for themselves before they came back to Earth. You know, you never know.
Well, and maybe you're giving them the opportunity to deal with themselves by not jumping in and pointing out to them what is so obvious to you that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe not even the opportunity, but the necessity.
Yes.
That's even, you know, that's even more important. Now, we were talking about the website, and I found a couple of things on there that were really interesting. And so I want you to give out the website information, but there's some things that go along with this, what we're talking about tonight, because you talk about reclaiming your energy. But then there's also an internal guidance system visualization, mm-hmm. which is free. There are tips for navigating through these challenging times, like finding calm in the eye of a storm, or, you know, hit the mute button. I like that one. I wish everybody had one and I could reach out and poke there sometimes, but, you know, hey, maybe in my next life. But and you also do private energy management sessions. So give out the website first, and we'll give it again at the end of the show. But I want to hear a little bit more about the internal GPS.
My site is empowermentunlimited.net, like safety net. And what Marla's been talking about in the shop, there are a number of guided visualizations. And one of them is the internal guidance system one has you connect your physical senses to your intuition so that they're operating with the information flowing both ways, so that your inner GPS is sending. It's a two-way street. Get sending information to your physical senses so you can move through the world with this. And it's a way of bypassing the question of, is this my inner chatter or am I really getting a signal here? And mm-hmm. I would suggest to everybody that, actually I'll say it outright, right now logic is not the navigational tool for the way the world is. I've been referring to a nudge-driven existence. And the more you're following the energetic pushes that you get, the more you're going to navigate the ever-changing landscape that we're in the middle of. So the inner GPS guided visualization is one of those. I have one called the Star Pond that's based on the star of the tarot. That is a really nice cleaning and relaxing one. And then under, if you go to the tab at the top that says Astro Insight, if you touch that, mm-hmm. there is a list that says one of the menu items is articles. And under articles, you will find... that's a lovely sound. You will find the hit the mute button article and Finding Calm in the Center of the Storm article. I've written about this stuff in different guises for decades, including for the American Bar Association Journal. So one of those pieces is an outgrowth of an article for lawyers.
Interesting. That's a good thing. And you know, I was going to switch over to astrology for a little bit, last few minutes of the show, because you do have a YouTube channel where people can go and get the weekly things. You put one up every week. But I got a question from a listener during the week when she saw the banner that was pretty much that she was hearing a lot of warnings from astrologers about what's in store down the line in the near future for the world. And it's not painting a pretty picture. And, you know, talking about natural disasters. And of course, us here in California, we worry about earthquakes, and other people are worried about volcanoes. And we are all hearing about the worsening of the pandemic. And they wanted me to ask you, are you seeing things astrologically along those lines as well?
Well, first off, let's go back to the name of my site, empowermentunlimited.net. I always look at things from the perspective of what can you do with it. Now, mm-hmm. if we look at what's happening right now, we've had for years weird things happening with the earth, with the environment, brush fires, locusts, you name it, there'll be frogs falling from the sky next, who knows? But we're in the middle of things that do not match the way the world, we were brought up to think life's going to go a certain way, and then a lot of really startling things have been happening. Yes, startling things will continue to happen, but by the end of this year, we are heading toward the launch pad of what we're going to do about it all. All of this year is amplifying massive foundational change and bringing things to the surface that have been moldering and smoldering and festering for years and years and years and years and years. I see somebody put my site up in the chat. Thank you. And there are multiple things starting in August that will turn on a catalytic converter, will turn on an engine that will just have us pushing against all of this change and starting to make things happen and not feel like we are the hanged man, which is what life has been like. Mm-hmm. And then by the solstice, by the Yuletide, there is, oh my goodness, we're in a different realm. And I would encourage people to think about what was positive from mid-March to the beginning of July, the early days of the shutdown. What was positive about that in terms of new ways of people connecting, all kinds of arts stuff, life going online, and all of these different people giving their talents, making them accessible, theaters, Broadway shows, different performers who've been doing stuff out of their rooms. Mm-hmm. Gay Bar in New York has had their pianists doing regular sets throughout the day since the pandemic. Yeah. That sort of thing. And different, there's been a progressive coming together for different political causes, social movements. Without naming any of them, there have been people in the streets trying to make the world a better place, and we have seen split second changes. As soon as the pandemic hit, suddenly corporate America changed its mind and decided, oh, people can work remotely, huh, we can do that. And all kinds of things that people have been fighting suddenly became a way of life. We're heading toward that becoming the norm. I'm not saying we'll never interact with each other again, but look at what has been good and beneficial and future-oriented and community-building, mm-hmm. and that gets a gigantic boost at the end of the year. And we do have a very strong probability of restructuring governments into something far more workable. There are people that are making incredibly dire predictions. I am not one of them. I see the possibility of an awful lot of stuff getting back on track, and we have recurrences of the New Deal coming around. I think that there will be very, very progressive things happening.
Well, I hope a lot of people kind of embrace that instead of holding on to all the bad, because that will just bring everybody else down, not empathically, but generally. There has to be a light at the end of the tunnel in some facet, and we need to allow ourselves to accept that, because maybe a lot of people are so beaten down now they can't even imagine anything but it staying the same or getting worse, because they're not going to take over themselves and allow themselves to think positively.
Well, I have two homing thoughts for people that might help. And one of them is, how does this benefit me? Mm-hmm. And that can sometimes take a while to have it show up. And the other one is, lead me in the direction that's most beneficial. And make the signals so strong, I get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just allow yourself to climb out of the muck, because you can. Even getting your hand out is the first step, you know?
Yeah, maybe. And consider, there is something, we have been allowed, we've been given permission to drop a lot of things that we previously thought we had to do, based on the way our society has been running. There has been a tremendous simplification that has shown up. So you've been let off the hook for a lot of stuff, actually. And what you know, the ground rules don't operate anymore. How can you remake yourself into who you really are?
Mm-hmm. And again, it's, you can do that. It's not, well, maybe my neighbor can or my brother can or whatever. Everybody can, but you just have to go back, be a little introspective at this time if you can. And you should want to, because this wallowing is not fun. It's kind of miserable after all. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that can be done and a lot of ways to do them. And in the next last couple of minutes, what will people find on your website? I mean, I know there are things like guided meditations, newsletters, private energy management sessions, navigating through this.
The main thing they'll see when they get there, the dominant at the top, I have a podcast every week. It's a spoken podcast called Astro Insight, and it tends to run between 7 and 10 minutes long, that describes what's going on that week. I have a written forecast for every month, a written forecast for every new moon and full moon, and those I also record and I cross-post them on the YouTube channel. So you can either read them or listen. You can read them, listen to the podcast at my site, or you can find it all at YouTube, which is The Professional Aquarian. That's the name of the channel. I have lots of articles. I have resources for the year there's a page with different talks. I have a talk at the solstice explaining what's going on.
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, I was on there for a very long time. You know, I just expected to hit and run, but no.
It's overloaded. And I've got links to a whole bunch of interviews and stuff. And if you're a real geek and you want to read about the astrology of Doctor Who or Star Trek, that's there too.
Yes, because you're really into pop culture as well, right?
Yeah, certain pop culture, yes.
Well, yeah. Well, I smiled when I saw the Doctor Who thing, and I have to go back and do that because I like Doctor Who very much. So we'll do that.
I have found that certain shows tend to, that the astrology of when the show launched links to the creator's chart and the people who play significant roles. And so that's what I do. I mean, the Doctor Who, when I went through all the Doctors and how they are playing it out, and Star Trek, go through the entire franchise. Well, most of it, I don't think I have the current show, but
very cool. Very cool. And then of course there's Picard. You can jump into that when you run out. Anyway, give the website address one more time and then we're going to say goodbye.
It is empowermentunlimited.net.
All right. And thank you so much for joining me. Very interesting show. Very interesting all over the place. So come back at some point and we'll talk some more because, you know, hours go by really, really quickly.
I have lots to say about Hollywood and entertainers.
There, we can do that too. And I want to thank everybody for listening in as well. And until next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
Circle be open, but unbroken. May the peace of the goddess be ever in your heart. Merry meet and merry part, and merry meet again. Merry meet again. Merry meet again.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited.